everyone, and welcome along to The Punt. Now, first of all, the positives. The Naps table is still all green, but only one winning nap last week, with Al Ross jumping into second in the table. Come on, guys, you've got to do better than that. Robbie Savage returns from a short hiatus to talk about VAR. He's ranting this week, which, quite frankly, is no different to any other week, is it? Let's be honest. Hopefully, he's going to have calmed down by the time I'm next with him on 6:06. Now, we've got stats-based bets for the 3 PMs in the Premier League coming up, and I'm going to be back to tell you about how you can make your bets bigger with William Hill. The Football League guys will give you their naps, but first, here to take you through the TV games this weekend, DK is joined by Lee Phelps.
What a treat this is. Lee Phelps alongside me here in the studio. What are you doing here?
I don't know. Alex said he was off. Suddenly I get the call up and here I am.
There you go.
I had to cram in loads of prep about the Premier League.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've got lots of winners to come for us
on
this preview show. Let's start with Southampton versus Leicester. Get straight stuck in. Got five live games this weekend. This one Friday night, Southampton 2-1 to win the game. They draw 5-2. Leicester in the betting at 13-10. Loads of enhancements available on the William Hill website and on the app as well. 9 points separating these two sides already in the Premier League. And I know all the talk's been about Jamie Vardy and James Maddison in the early part of the season, but Youri Tielemans is impressing me. He was the match winner last weekend for Leicester. 22 years old, already the driving force in that team.
I think they're a great team.
Yeah.
They're really impressive. I don't buy into this, they're going to finish in the top four. I'm not having that. But top six, you can definitely see that, can't you? Although I did say for an entire season that they wouldn't win the Premier League.
Yeah.
Even the week before.
Why aren't they going to finish in the top four now? Because Arsenal were disappointing last weekend. I know Chelsea have started the season well under Frank Lampard. Why aren't they going to finish in the top
four? I can't get into this. I can't start this again now. I just don't think they will. All right, okay. Ask me again in March when the third, and I'll still say they won't finish in the top four. I think they're a good side.
Yeah.
And I think this is a tough task for Southampton. I mean, Southampton, I know Alex has got a really unhealthy obsession with opposing them, and I can kind of see why. Before the season started, our friend and colleague Robbie Savage was putting together his pre-season predictions, and he likes to discuss what he's going for, doesn't
he? You're the only one that watches those, Lee.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That's because I predicted half of them. and I suggested to him, I mean, what about Southampton to go down?
I just
didn't think they'd signed the right kind of strikers. They didn't sign enough goals, in my opinion. And I think, you know, Danny Ings has scored, you know, 4 goals, 5 in the last four in the Premier League. He won't score 20.
No.
Cherems won't score 20. Won't score enough goals to keep them in this division, I don't think. So I think they're going to struggle. Some of the stats around them, since the start of last season, they've picked up 24 points from 23 home games. Mm. I mean, that is poor form. And Leicester, they've had a tough run of away games, Leicester. But you beat Sheffield 2-1. I think this is a sort of game where they can go and get a result. When you look at this stat here, Holy Saints, both teams have scored in 16 of Southampton's last 17 Premier League games. I mean, it just lends itself, doesn't it, to looking at, you know, a Leicester win and both teams to score, in my opinion.
Yeah, Leicester to win and both teams to score in the match is a decent price as well, currently available at 29-10. As far as this game is concerned, I think this will be entertaining. I expect plenty of goals in the game. I fancy Leicester to win the game as well, so Leicester and goals for me.
I really agree with that. I think Leicester are a strong team. I think Southampton can score. They've shown that they can score. If you're looking at goal scorers, you have to be looking at Vardy. He's trying to keep his family name afloat. He's scoring goals for fun. You know, since Brendan Rodgers came in, 15 goals in 19 games. That's a tremendous record. So if you want to be with Vardy, I wouldn't put anyone off.
Yeah.
But for me, it's got to be Leicester. Got to be strong with Leicester. I think you've got to go for Leicester to win and both teams to score.
Very good. Leicester to win and both teams to score for Lee. Robbie Savage is ranting again. Can you believe it? Happens every single week. And he's talking about VAR as well. That's not happened for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
At least. So here's Robbie Savage on VAR after this weekend's controversies.
Here we are again. VAR. Why aren't referees being encouraged to go over to the monitor and check for themselves? Watford against Spurs. Wow, Delafeu. Clear Stonewall penalty. I've spoke to fans. I've spoke to journalists. I've spoke to former players. Lots of them all said it's a clear and obvious error. Yeah. Go and check the monitor. No. Why aren't they going to check the monitor for themselves? Then they can make the decision. The on-field ref needs to look again and then say if he's made a mistake. Check the monitor then. Liverpool against Manchester United at Old Trafford. Matt Nacky's in great position. Doesn't think it's a foul on Origi. Then The goal gets scored from Rashford, 36th minute. It was given in the 38th minute. It would have been quicker if it had said, Martin, go and check the monitor. It had run off 30 seconds, come back on and said, goal! Check the monitors!
More from Robbie Savage on VAR next week on the show then. I think he's actually got a point for once.
Yeah, he's got a point. You can't disagree with him, can you?
No.
It's spoiling the game, isn't it?
It is. And we saw in the World Cup, they looked at those pitch side monitors a lot, and the Premier League didn't want to do that. And they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to stop the game. But then it's affecting the game adversely now.
Stopping the game anyway. I was listening to that commentary. Robbie was doing the commentary at Old Trafford, and it was a good 2.5 minutes, I think, before they got the... You know, and you have the celebration of the goal... Well, we've been through this a million times.
Yeah. They only added 1 minute on at the end of that half. how does that figure?
I don't know. That's what he'll do next week.
Yeah.
How much time has been added on because of, you know, VAR?
Man City versus Villa coming up next. This is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. This one, Man City 1-12 to win the game. The draw 10-1, Aston Villa 25-1. Obviously, from a betting perspective, we've got to get creative here with City being so short. They've beaten Villa 4-0. In the last two meetings, League and Cup. Come into this on the back of that 5-1 win midweek against Atalanta. Raheem Sterling was just on absolute fire. I still think defensively, they are slightly vulnerable. They played with Rodri and Fernandinho as that centre-back partnership last weekend against Palace, kept a clean sheet. But I thought they were there to be got at midweek, and that could be the same again. I know John Stones is coming back into the fold now, but I still think Villa have a chance of scoring at the Etihad at the very least.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. Did you see Guardiola having a right go at Stones on the bench in midweek? Well, God knows what that was about.
He's always like that, though. They scored their fifth goal and he's ranting at someone for not tracking back 2 yards or something.
Yeah, can we just talk about Sterling, by the way? You went to see City and a corporate once last season, and ever since then, Sterling's your favourite player. So if you went and saw, like, you know, just any old player, you know, Che Adams or someone like that, would that be your favourite player then after that?
Listen, I'd be obsessed with you if I just went to see that five-a-side, you niggling in all the time. it was weird seeing it because obviously you see it on television and you think there's not much space there.
Yeah.
And then you see it live and you don't know how he's making that space for himself. But you just got to be impressed with what he did.
He's a good player, of course. He's a good player. He's all right, yeah. Interestingly, Guardiola's never lost back-to-back home league games in his managerial career.
He has managed some good teams, though.
Yeah, he's done all right. Yeah, it's fine. You're right, though. You have got to be creative. I think you look at City games... this one, whatever game it is, when it's not against a top six side, if you like, and you can't treat it like a normal game when you're having a bet on it. You're going to stick it in your acca, 1-12. It's not going to do much for your acca, but you've got to stick it in there. So you're looking at things like both teams scoring with a home win.
Yeah.
You're looking at goal scorers. You're looking at handicap bets. So I've kind of gone through those and tried to look at which one of those offers us the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Man City have won the last 9 Premier League games against Villa. Aggregate score 34. So you're looking at, on the handicaps, you'd have to probably go -3.
Yeah.
That's around the 8-5 mark. It might just be a bit of a stretch that I think Villa could score. Mm. And suddenly you need 4 goals if you want to back that. All the other -1 and -2 are odds on still. What about Aguero? He scored 6 goals against Villa himself. But again, even scoring first is too short. Scoring any time is way too short to be backing for a player to score a goal.
Yeah.
So then you look at the both teams to score angle. Villa took the lead against Spurs and Arsenal at their place. Mm. Led at half-time even. You could be really creative and go Villa to be winning at half-time and lose the game or any kind of combination of that.
Yeah.
I think City to come from behind and win is 11-2. Again, a bit of a stretch maybe, but if you're looking for a creative bet, that might be the way to go. But I think I'm looking at the City to win and both teams to score. It's not the most exciting, but without stealing Alex's thunder... I know what his nap is.
Yeah.
And that's the exact opposite of what he's going for, isn't it?
Yeah, I like City to win in both teams to score. I think that's a good bet at 6-5. If you're looking for a goal score in the match, you've got to focus on Sergio Aguero. But I think there's going to be goals in this game. I think City are going to win. And I do like Villa to get on the score sheet as well. That would be my bet in this game. What about you?
Yeah, I think that they will win the game. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think the way Villa play, they will go at them.
Yeah.
They're not going to sit back and try and soak it up and park the bus. I think Villa will go at City. They will try and score. I think they will score. I think that they are susceptible at the back, City, but they will score more than Villa. So by all means, go for a correct score, something around the 3-1 mark. But I think the safest bet here is Man City to win and both teams to score.
Expecting entertainment at the Etihad on Saturday lunchtime. And we're going City to win and both teams to score in this one.
Have you used your Bet Boost yet? All you've got to do is make sure you're logged into your William Hill account, put an acca of a treble or bigger together. You'll see a black and yellow boost button in your bet slip. Look at the price in yellow, click or touch and watch it get bigger. Enjoy William Hill's biggest ever Bet Boost and check out all the T's and C's on desktop or on the app. Right then, back to DK and Lee, who are looking at Burnley versus Chelsea.
Thank you, Emma. Let's get stuck into this one then. It's one of the most intriguing games of the weekend, in my opinion, because Burnley are 7-2 to win it. The draw 3-1, Chelsea 8-11. Burnley might have been beaten by Leicester last weekend. Record at Turf Moor this season is good. Picked up 9 points from a possible 12. And it's a cliche, but I always think it's difficult to go to a ground like Turf Moor and get 3 points.
Yeah, I agree. And our friend Derek McGovern, I thought he'd go for this as his nap, but yeah. Home. It's a big price, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
For a team who are decent. But there is a but, they don't do too well against the big six. You know, that's where they seem to stumble. And they do get results, you know, and it's a very tough place to go. You're absolutely right. But, you know, only one win in 25 games against the big six. It's not great, is it? They don't keep clean sheets against the big six either. So I think it's going to be a struggle for them. They have got one man who's been playing really well. You know, see him on screen here. If you're listening to the podcast, you need to watch to see these amazing graphics.
Just blur our faces.
Exactly. Yeah. 4 goals in last 4 Premier League games. Now, look, he's not tearing it up, is he? But that's a good record for this man.
6-1 to score first.
2-1 to score any time.
Yeah.
What about this one? 6-1 for him to score in a Chelsea win. Which
maybe.
I quite like that,
The
old reverse scorecast. but I think there's a chance there for them. I think what they've got here is that Chelsea are coming back off a really good result in Europe.
Yeah.
But they will have been buoyant from that, beating Ajax 1-0 away. Tremendous result. Great performance. It's just, can they take advantage of that, Burnley? Can they put the pressure on Chelsea and make sure Chelsea, you know, are up against it, I guess, in this game? I think Chelsea have suddenly started to hit form. Early in the season, everyone was negative about Chelsea and about Lampard, weren't they? Oh, this isn't too young a team. This isn't either. All of a sudden, they're winning games for fun, scoring goals for fun. Started this run by beating my team, Grimsby Town, 7-1. Both teams to score landed. That's all right. So the mighty Mariners did us a little favour. And then they've been winning games. They had that hard-fought win against Newcastle, 1-0.
Yeah.
Everyone was raving about the young players. You know, it's no surprise. You know, we know they're really good players. But, you know, the likes of Tammy Abraham has been playing unbelievably. It's almost like they're going under the radar a little bit. Everyone's talking about Liverpool and Man City and going on about Man United and lambasting Arsenal and obviously Tottenham haven't been doing well. Chelsea have been doing great, though, haven't they, all of a sudden?
Oh, they're a fantastic team. I think it's helped that Frank Lampard's not been able to spend in the transfer window. He's had to blood these younger players. Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham, they've both scored in the last 4 away games for Chelsea now. It's an unbelievable record they've got.
Yeah.
I think there could be goals in this game, actually. And I fancy Chelsea. I know the price is attractive on Burnley. I just don't think you can oppose Chelsea in the mood they're in at the moment.
No, I think it will be a tough game. I think it is, you know, this young team is learning all the time. And having had the good win against Newcastle and the really good win at Ajax, suddenly they've got to come back and, you know, almost, you know, settle down a little bit. And I heard Abraham speaking on the radio after the win in Ajax saying, we know that. We know this is another kind of test now going to Burnley. He's the man I'm looking at in terms of the bet, Tammy Abraham. He's top scorer in the Premier League, joint with Sergio Aguero. Even that came as a little bit of a surprise to me. 8 goals, playing really well. He scored first in 3 of the games that he scored in. I think he's got a tremendous record. I think he's in great form. And I think that's what I'm looking at. I think Chelsea will win, but I think it'll be tight. I'm going Tammy Abraham to score first in this game.
Tammy Abraham to get the first goal in the game for Lee. Now we're launching a new feature here.
Ooh, interesting one.
It's called Number Cruncher. It's not a breakfast cereal. It's a stats-based betting feature on the 3 p.m. games in the Premier League this weekend.
We have a trio of 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Premier League, so let's do some number crunching and look at some stats-based bets to see if we can find a winner or two. Brighton at home to Everton first up, two sides languishing towards the wrong end of the table, and there'll be no thoughts of a lovely autumnal trip down to the seaside. Everton are winless in their last 10 Premier League trips to the South Coast, losing 7 and drawing 3, plus the Seagulls beat Spurs 3-0 last time out at home, and the Toffees have 1 point from their 4 away games so far. Brighton to win at around 2-1 is the pick. Woeful Watford face Bournemouth, still looking for their first win of the season. And they face a bogeyman too. Cherry striker Josh King has scored 5 goals in his last 6 Premier League appearances against Watford, with 4 of those goals coming at Vicarage Road. Josh King to score at any time is around the 5-2 mark. And finally, West Ham have Sheffield United at the London Stadium. The Blades stop the Gunners firing at home on Monday, but they don't do as well in the capital. Sheffield United are winless in their last 16 top flight games in London, drawing 5 and losing 11. Don't be getting excited about the Hammers. West Ham have won none of their last 9 Premier League games in October. They've drawn 3 and lost 6. Let's go for a draw at around 5-2.
What do we do about this game? Newcastle taking on Wolves at St James's Park. Newcastle 19-10 to win it. The draw 21-10. Wolves in the betting 8-5. This is a Sunday 2 o'clock kickoff. This one, I was asking Alex Dunn about any insight, and he just said Newcastle won't have much possession.
Yeah, this is what Alex, I'm sitting in for Alex. This is what Alex left me in terms of prep. That's it. This is a series of numbers here. 38, 37, 20, 49. That's Newcastle's Premier League possession.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? And then he's also told me about Alan Saint-Maximin. He's even spelled that out for me as if I couldn't pronounce it, which is good of him. I like that.
Well, he dragged me over to his computer the other day and said, here you go. Here's YouTube. Let's have a look at a 2.5-minute clip of Saint-Maximin's touches in the Chelsea game. I'm not that interested, Alex, in all honesty. But he does look a player. He's a bit like Mekanu, like just all legs, basically. You never know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do. And that confounds the opposition on occasion.
This tactic.
This game is just, it's difficult. It's difficult because Newcastle don't want the ball. They're going to sit very deep, as they always do. Mm. But Wolves, they looked incredible against Manchester City before the international break, were winning 2-0. But that's because they allowed Manchester City to have the ball and they hit them on the counter-attack. It's not going to work like that at St James's Park. So it's a tough match to get a handle on. I fancy the draw strongly in this one, though.
Yeah, you're napping that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am napping the draw. I think Wolves coming back from the European adventure in the Europa League, and they've not done that well coming back from that break. I think they'll find it tough to get going. I just don't think there's many goals in this Newcastle team as we've seen all season.
No.
Under 2.5 goals has landed in all their Premier League games at St James's Park this year. So I think it'll be tight. But I'm going with the draw as my best bet this weekend, 21-10.
Yeah, I knew that before I started prepping for the game, and I can't get the draw out of my head, but I'm going to have a look at something a little bit different. It's interesting you say about Wolves at City, 24% possession they had in that game, which proves your point. You do wonder who's going to cross each other's halfway line, because Newcastle want to play on the counter, Wolves want to play on the counter. They may just decide just to pass it about in each other's half and not just settle for a 0-0 draw. The 0-0 draw, I wouldn't put anyone off having a look at that.
6-1 is.
You know, you're always kind of up against it because you're absolutely petrified of a goal going in, you know, off someone's knee or something. But yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off that. And I'm sure, you know, you'd be looking at the draw and unders.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right about, you know, Newcastle, the kind of the possession stats that we talked about from Alex's fantastic notes. That's the way they play. They're not going to come out and play any other way. Wolves will do the same sort of thing. I think you're right. And it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it, about coming back from Europe. But it's new for Wolves, and it is an adventure. So it will take
it
out of the
legs. They've got a small squad as well, Wolves.
Absolutely,
I think that's key.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Newcastle have started to show signs. I know they lost against Chelsea, but they got decent reviews after that game. And I think there's something
they
about
were
Newcastle.
From Alex, though.
That's true. Yeah, they were only from Alex. But yeah, I think Newcastle have got they'll have the slight edge in the home advantage.
Okay.
But you know, it's a tricky game to call.
My best bet of the week then here, I'm going with the draw in this one. I think it's a stick-on point apiece.
Yeah, I can see why. It's hard to oppose that. But I think the fact that Wolves are coming back from Europe, the fact that Newcastle will have the home advantage and the big crowd behind them, and I think they are starting to show signs of slight improvement, and I think they will push forward. They have to push forward because they are the home team. I think I'm going to go for Newcastle to edge this. They've got the tightest home defence in the division. They also have the least number of goals scored in the division, 2. Both of those are 2. I think it'll be a very tight game. I can see Newcastle winning this 1-0.
Okay, Newcastle 1-0 for Lee. Let's hear from Mr. McGovern this week and get his best bet.
Arsenal players reacted angrily this week to Patrice Evra calling them babies. No, we're not, they said. You are. Arsenal midfielder Granit Xhaka said of Evra, a lot of people speak too much. You can understand why Xhaka got so upset. But there's no need for him to throw his toys out of the pram. There's actually talk, by the way, that the Arsenal away kit is a onesie. The Gunners are at home to Crystal Palace on Sunday. And after the horror show at Sheffield United on Monday, the Arsenal manager is desperate for it to finish in a win. And the Arsenal players desperate for it to finish in time for In the Night Garden. Arsenal were so sluggish in the second half at Bramall Lane, you suspect that instead of a half-time team talk, Unai Emery sang them a lullaby. Arsenal's decline under Emery has been almost Brigitte Bardot-like. She now spends her time looking after the defenceless creatures, and so does Emery. Who in their right mind would back Arsenal at 4-9 to beat Palace? I'll give you the answer. No one. Palace reserve their best form for away matches. They won at Man City last season, they've won at Man United this season, and I'll be raiding my bank account to have a large dabble on them at 6-1. There's a rumour that Paul Pogba could be leaving Man United in the January transfer window. It's not known if a fee will be involved. Pogba gets around 300 grand a week to sit on a bench and do nothing. Not even MPs get rewarded that handsomely. He's not their worst performer. Until Marcus Rashford scored against Liverpool last week, I thought he'd declared the ceasefire. Before this week, Manchester United had played twice in Europa League this season and lost their very next Premier League match at West Ham and at Newcastle. This suggests either the Europa League takes it out of United or they're just not very good. I prefer the latter explanation. That's why Norwich at 16-5 is a bet not to be missed. In fact, 16-5 could be the final score.
I think you get a pretty big price on it being 16-5 this weekend to Norwich, but Norwich is, I suppose, a fair bet.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Liverpool versus Spurs is the game of the weekend, undoubtedly, at Anfield. Liverpool 1-2 to win the game. The draw 17-5. Spurs in the betting at 11-2. If you fancy Liverpool and both teams to score, that's 13-8. The draw 19-5 in that market. Spurs are 15-2. Just both teams to score. Yes is 8-13. No is 6-5. Don't forget you can build a your odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app ahead of this one as well. Liverpool on song midweek, a big European performance yet again. And thinking back to last weekend, that 1-1 draw at Old Trafford, you'd have thought going into that 1-1 wasn't a good result for Liverpool, given the odds they were to win the game. But the manner of picking up a point there augurs well, I think, for this weekend. And I saw Paul Machin, who does the fan face-off for William Hill on the Instagram page. He was saying there's some sort of psychological block at Old Trafford, and it's interesting that Jurgen Klopp still hasn't won at Old Trafford. I think they'll fancy their chances against Spurs, but Spurs picked up midweek as well. I think they needed that performance, didn't they, midweek?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. They've been the picture of inconsistency, Spurs, this season. You look at their results, the loss against Bayern Munich, and then they went to Brighton and lost 3-0, amazingly. That's the first time they had two results back to back the same.
Yeah.
So it's been draw and win and loss and draw and win, which is crazy really, and they haven't been able to kind of get a handle on it, I don't think. I think there's been a massive hangover from the Champions League final, obviously. I mean, Pochettino said that in the press during the summer. That's all he could think about.
Yeah.
Was the Champions League final really running in his mind? That would have transmitted to the players. And I think this is an odd thing. I mean, Liverpool obviously are a fantastic team, top of the table, odds on to win here. I wonder if Spurs have been targeting this game, even if it's subconsciously. Suddenly they get a good result midweek in Europe. Can they go to Anfield? I'm not saying a win is absolutely necessary. I mean, a good performance maybe take a point away, because, you know, Liverpool are on the crest of this amazing achievement. Fantastic so far, but you start to unpick some of the recent performances. I know you kind of painted quite a rosy picture there of what's happened in the last week, and I get that. I absolutely get that. But you know, you think about how they've done recently. They weren't brilliant at Bramall Lane.
No,
they were suspect against Salzburg when they were three up, and then let a three goal lead, had to dig it out in the end. A little lucky against Leicester. Obviously, kind of mediocre against Man United in the first half, and then dug it out. I can't think of an alliteration for Genk midweek, but they won. On the face of it, the result looks like they've had a great result. But again, they were just a little bit, you know, lackluster maybe in
gluey
times.
Gluey against Genk, does that work?
Gluey, we could have gluey.
Sticky.
tweet your alliterations in for Genk. So I'm just, all I'm saying is that they're not quite hitting the straps at the moment, Liverpool, I don't think. And I think this is an opportunity for Spurs to go there. And there's some big prices around Spurs, you know, looking at plus on the handicap maybe. The draw's a big price. You know, this is a Spurs team. We've got quality in there. And if Liverpool aren't quite at it, then, you know, there might be an opportunity for Spurs to upset that stat and you know, Liverpool not get the dozen.
The draw 17-5, by the way. Tottenham plus one in the handicap market, available at 6-4 here with William Hill. I think there was some interesting stuff said tactically on Monday Night Football. You had Jamie Carragher alongside Patrice Evra, and he was talking about when United played three at the back, they managed to get Ashley Young and Aaron Wan-Bissaka pushing up on those two fullbacks that love to roam forward in Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. And that really affected the way Liverpool played. So it'll be interesting to see how Pochettino sets up tactically against Jurgen Klopp this weekend as well. But we've got two of the greatest Premier League goal scorers. I mean, Salah's not been there that long, but ever lining up against each other here. And Harry Kane back on song midweek as well. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm hoping those two really shine this weekend.
Yeah, and they've both got good records against each other. You look at Salah. Salah's scored six goals in his last eight against Spurs. Two of those weren't even for Liverpool, Bale and Fiorentina. So he's kind of got a little bit of a sign over Spurs, whoever he plays for. So I can understand why people would be looking at Salah. Always worth looking at when you're having a bet on Liverpool if you think they're going to win and score goals. Kane's got five goals in nine Premier League games against Liverpool as well. Mm. So, you know, didn't score last season, but again, he's a quality player. What I looked at it almost like a match bet, DK.
Yeah.
And I looked at Salah being odds on and Kane being odds against here.
Yeah.
And I think, well, these are two world-class strikers. And if I'm having to pick one, I'm looking at Kane. I think there will be goals in this game. I think I think Liverpool are suspects at the back, and I think Tottenham can get them. And I think Tottenham will have a go at them in this game. I think they'll go in there. I think they've got something to get off their shoulders, if you like, and after that Champions League final. So, yeah, I think there will be goals.
Bets here then. I think Spurs can pick up something at Anfield. I'm going with a draw in this game. A couple of draws this weekend. I fancy the draw in this one.
The draw is really big. I think it's a big price. It just stands out to me as being too big. Look, Liverpool are going to go in loads of backers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand that completely. But I think Tottenham are just a bit too big, and you've got to have them in your mind. Whether it's a plus one on the handicap, whether it is a draw, as you like, whether it's even going Tottenham. You know, I've got a hunch that Tottenham can win this game. And I think the price for them to win is big enough to risk on a hunch. But I'm going to go for goal scorers because I'm not quite sure how the game's going to go.
Okay.
Salah is odds on. Kane, odds against. I'm going Kane.
Okay, Kane to score in the game. I fancy the draw in this one. Big game, huge game at Anfield. Liverpool taking on Spurs. It's a 4:30 kickoff. And now we've reached the end of the show. We're going to hear from the Football League guys and get their best bets this weekend.
My Championship nap of the week this week is Birmingham City at even money. They've won 4 of 6 home games so far this season, including winning 1-0 in a solid midweek performance. And I think they'll have too much for Luton Town. Now, Luton Town, 14 points so far this season is not a bad haul. Away from home, they're kind of going lose, win, lose, win, lose. But I don't know they'll have enough to get past Birmingham at St Andrews. So that's, for me, a very simple nap this week. It's Birmingham City, and you're getting them at even money.
My nap this weekend is a side at home who are scoring plenty and winning plenty and could go top of the table on goal difference if results go their way this Saturday. And they're at home to a side who aren't scoring goals at all on their travels. Peterborough at even seems a fine price. Last 5 games at home for Peterborough, they've scored 16 goals. Coventry, on the other hand, they have drawn 4 of 5 away from home, but failed to score in their last 3 on their travels. Peterborough have got goals. Coventry haven't. Could push the price and go for Peterborough minus 1, but my nap is Peterborough. It evens at home to Coventry.
W-A-L-S-A-L-L, yet Walsall have more L's in the last 4 games than they have in their name. Fewer W's too. Mansfield 31-20, the bet this week. Walsall have conceded 10 goals in losing the last 4 straight, 3 of them to teams who were below them in the table. Mansfield's form looks mixed, but 2 thumping wins followed by a 2-2 draw at Forest Green, who were second, and a 2-1 loss at home to Salford on Tuesday came despite 69% possession and 24 shots to 4. I'm expecting retaliation, could be a bloodbath. Sticking though with the outright, Mansfield 31-20.
Time for the naps then, and I'm hoping Derek gets a winner this week, because I can say once again it's all green on the table no matter what happens with our bets and the Football League bets.
I'm not sure about Norwich.
I'm not sure about Norwich either. He's 8.75 in profit. Obviously, I'm 94.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
Yeah,
you must have been disappointed. Triple figures looked nice.
It was bad, because you know what was the worst thing about the Arsenal game last weekend? It was seeing all the Unai Emery's useless in the aftermath after I'd say, yeah. Oh, I thought he was, I think he's doing a really good job on last week's show. And then he's just getting lambasted.
The best thing about this table is the fact that I haven't had to pick it now.
Yeah.
Normally when you sit in, you have to pick it now, but I haven't had to do it. So Alex has gone Man City win to nil. I actually went Man City win and both teams to score. Yeah. So opposing Alex, but you know... He might win it.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, I'm going with Newcastle Wolves to be a draw. I think that's a fair bet this weekend, isn't it? Yeah. I don't expect many goals in that game.
That might be the first draw that's been put up on the Naps table.
I think, well, we were talking about this last week and what are we, nine or ten weeks in now? And Alex was saying, I don't think I put up a draw this season.
In any of them. You just feel bad putting up a draw, don't you? It's like, you want to put up a win or, you know, a positive bet.
Three possible outcomes absolutely. In every football match. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going 21-10 the draw in that one.
What about Al Ross, Lee 2, Mansfield, as you've just seen?
Yeah.
There's a lot of bants, isn't there, between Al and Gav P on the WhatsApp group.
And he's chasing me down now as well.
He's after you.
I'm feeling under a little bit of pressure there at the top of the table.
Yeah.
Okay, so all green on the table. Let's hope it remains that way next weekend. Thank you for your company.
It's been a pleasure.
It's really a rarity. I've enjoyed it as well.
I'm looking forward to Alex's next week off.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and either watched or listened. Remember, you can get the podcast on audioboom.com. And, of course, you can watch the show in full at YouTube every single week on William Hill's channel. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And we will be back with more Premier League action next weekend. If you're having a bet with William Hill, the very best of luck, and we'll speak again soon.